This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thanks, Wes. Good morning, everyone. The theme is about how HEIs can work together pooling resources, but I think I've crave your indulgence. I've distorted it slightly because I think the how and the why are inseparable, because unless we can explain why we want to work together, there's no point exploring the how. So I think I'm going to explore that, if I may. The other thing I think about a conference like this is we're all lifelong learners. And listening to Lord Winston this morning made me reflect on what I've written and how if I was starting now, as opposed to coming on the train 3 hours ago, I would be writing it differently. One of the challenges, I think, for all of us is not just how as HEIs we work together, but in terms of our own internal organisations, how we work as internally. I mean, I'll just share a couple of examples with you which Lord Winston has made me reflect on, related to science, and they're about practices in Kiel. There's a real issue about how we raise aspirations amongst school children in science and maths. And if anyone read the Times Educational Supplement last Friday, they will note the ongoing concerns that school strategy to hit league table requirements in terms of early entry is damaging progression to level three and beyond in terms of maths and science. And it made me think about what one of the projects we've been doing at Kiel. We're very lucky to have a science park with local businesses based on the campus. And Rosie Monkman, our manager of the science park, works closely with those businesses. And we've got an initiative whereby the science park, the local businesses, the local authority science advisors, my teacher education team, and the widening participation in higher schools and college liaison team are all working together with school pupils to try and raise aspirations and working with the school curriculum. And it really is quite exciting. And it's a way that we can think about how as organisations we look at the strengths within each of the faculties or the various departments there. A second one, we also are fortunate to run the pre-PGCE subject knowledge enhancement courses, and our physicists and mathematicians, we don't put them in secondary schools, we put them in primary schools and in special schools, and they work with the young children there teaching science at the same time as our staff work with the teachers, the primary teachers and the special school teachers offering CPD. So there's a kind of whole community of learning. It's how we can use those resources, and that's human resource, not financial resource. So just to share that with you about what we're about. Hence, the foci of the presentation, why do we need, how might we work, some examples of local practice and local collaboration in the future post-AIM Higher and in the new offer environment. I would hope that the offer requirements haven't driven us to look at how we work together. I hope it's that we already want to work together. And I'm fortunate that Judith Robinson's sitting in the audience there. Judith heads our regional AIM Higher, and I'm the chair of the steering group for that. And we've got some fantastic things in North Staffordshire which I'll share about with you at the end. And it's how we retain that legacy that I think is absolutely vital. Why? That's the starting point. We're at a very interesting time of where we're going. We've all written our offer statements, and I was responsible for leading the work at Kiel on that. We've all set our tuition fees for 2012, or we've all said what we want to set. Martin Harris and his team will have a view on that, and we'll no doubt be hearing very regularly before June the 19th or July the 19th whether we're going to get away with what we asked for. But none of us know what the reality is. As colleagues before the break said, there's the IAG that's been led by the government has been disastrous. There is the fact that the government is now having to spend £1.5 million on persuading students to think about university for 2012 indicates how problematic the whole IAG process has been. None of us really understand the elasticity of demand situation in terms of 2012. So we've got to consider very carefully what sort of abyss we may be staring into. The potential consequences, my view, could be far more damaging than the introduction of the £3,000 tuition fees. And I think that's something that we need to be very cognizant of right at the outset. I think secondly, though, collaboration between HEIs, and I want to stretch HEIs to partners, because I don't think it's just about collaboration between HEIs. AIM Higher and the Lifelong Learning Network, and I'll use them interchangeably because I think we mustn't lose sight of the importance of the LLN in terms of raising aspiration amongst non-traditional level three learners into higher education. It's about those two legacies together moving forward. And if we think about the partners, it wasn't just the HEIs, it was the local authorities, it was the work-based training providers working together, connection service. And I think that's how we can retain that legacy. It's not just about access. I would say I think it's more about whole issues of WP, social justice, cultural and attitudinal change. That's what we, I think we're about. And I think there are a whole raft of internal and external drivers for collaboration. And having already heard what colleagues have said this morning, I could give you lots of examples of how we might collaborate, but I've already heard examples that are at least as good as what we're trying to do, and I think there's a great danger of just repeating what we're all saying. Well, yeah, we're doing that, we're doing that. So try to get some broader principles for you. And I just wanted to pick out, I think, some key issues for us in terms of why we should collaborate and why we should engage in the whole process so we do collaborate. I've picked out five for you, which I think we can then think about how we do collaborate around those principles. The whole issue of social justice, outreach, the nature of provision, research in terms of access to HE, and post-entry. And I think what's important, again, about Martin Harris's work and the expectations in the offer statement is there is a far greater emphasis on post-entry and on retention. Because we've all been very good at getting students into university, 43-44% of the cohort now. We've been less good at actually keeping the students in. You know, I have a personal view that university teaching is all wrong, that what we should do is that the class sizes should get bigger as you go from level 4 to level 6, because the transition from level 3 to universities is not good because of the way that we prepare students to pass level 3 exams. And therefore, we need to think what we do in the university sector to support that transition. And one of the issues for us in North Staffordshire is how we can learn from each other as universities and providers to look at that sort of issue of transition and retention. And I'll just pick three of those for you, some of those we've got in terms of particularly Staffordshire University and Keele University working together. And to share with you, one of the key things in that is we're fortunate that the two universities, within 4 months of each other, have had new vice-chancellors. After two very established, very successful, but long-standing vice-chancellors, that's created a new environment in the region where, linked in terms of the comprehensive spending review and everything that's happening, it's forced the two universities to look at what they do and how they do. So the time, the landscape is ripe for collaboration. And therefore, both of our offer agreements were written in full cognizance of each other. So I had meetings with senior colleagues at Staffordshire in preparation of the offer statement, and the two vice-chancellors met and communicated to us all, you will communicate and you will share a vision in that. Absolutely important. So in terms of outreach, just some ideas about what we're talking about. And I think this notion of a joint IAG portal is important. If there's one hobby horse that most of us have, it's the poor quality of IAG that students are getting in schools. You know, go to University X, because I went there 25 years ago to read history, because it's actually very good, with no knowledge about that. So some really important questions for us in terms of IAG, the loss of connections, etc., etc., only raise the barrier, I think, even more. Again, in terms of provision, we mustn't lose sight of what's already there and how we can maintain in a collaborative way the offer. We already have joint access agreements, joint progression agreements across the West Midlands LLN, you know, so local, regional. Joint FE and HE activity, we leave our FE colleagues out of the equation at our peril, because we know one of the government agendas is to deal with our pricing strategy for access to HE by looking at HE and FE. So it's something we need to look at, how we can look at those sorts of alternative routes for access into level 4 and 5 and 6 study. And then I think one way in which we can work together and pool resources is to look at the existing skill sets within our organisations to do the sorts of research that needs to be done about barriers to access, support for access, barriers to retention, support for retention. So we're looking in the sub-region at how, across the two universities and more widely, we can share research activity. We can pool financial resources to employ research students or to support that sort of work. So we can maintain the legacy. And as I've said, sharing best practice in terms of post-entry. The single biggest challenge, I think, to us all. Because the difference now is if you're paying £9,000, it's a significant decision in terms of spend. That's why I think it's absolutely important, the IAG in the build-up to access in 2012. And when I do the executive presentations to parents at open days and visit days, trying to get the message across that if Keele's right for your son or daughter, great. But if it's not, absolutely great as well, because we don't want them to make the wrong decision. So how can we as providers pool our admissions resources, our recruitment team resources, to work on IAG to get it right? And I've identified some of those other issues in terms of practitioner networks and I think more stringent and effective financial support for our students in the new climate. But collaboration is not new. I've just listed just some of the examples of what's going on. Universities collaborate. We put in bids for collaborative doctoral provision, for joint courses. And that's, this is internally, never mind about the international collaborations with 3+1, 2+2, etc. Just an example of the sort of collaboration that goes on. Formal partnerships, informal partnerships. The same stakeholders meeting in range of fora. And the one I want to pick out for you, I think, is teacher education. This, is one of the most significant underexploited resources. The teaching profession or the teacher educators, and I hold my hands up on this, for 20 years have looked to schools to place students. We haven't really done anything in terms of transformational change of practice. How can we, as teacher educators, get involved in terms of IAG for students? And one of the legacies in our region is that the Lifelong Learning Network has provided money for the two teacher training institutions, Staffordshire and Keele, to build IAG into its teacher training for tomorrow's teachers. So we actually are about getting our beginning teachers to think about raising aspiration and helping in a way that it hasn't done in the past. Absolutely important. The Science Learning Centre hosted at Keele, people working along there, Staffordshire, Keele, Wolverhampton, the broader community. But as I've said, what is new is the new landscape, the imperative of the new landscape. The changed financial resources, we all take the hit of the government cuts in terms of teaching grants for arts and humanities. The further cuts as a result of us all deciding to charge between £8,000 and £9,000. The reduction in human resource that's taken place in all the institutions. And I think also, yes, the issue of collaboration versus competition. And to share with you, I think we need to see 16 as a real challenge for all of us as providers, because pre-16, collaboration will be important. How can we work on collaboration post-16 when other colleagues, senior colleagues in the university with a finance function or a recruitment function, will see post-16 as not about collaboration but as about a market to compete in? And it's how we can ensure that the independent IAG is given to the students to help him or her make the right decisions. Therefore, and that also sits uncomfortably with us wanting to collaborate, but the coalition government driving a marketisation, a competitive model. So there's some, how do we work around those other barriers to do what we want? And yes, collaboration has to be for the benefit of all. Which means that it has to be about mutual trust between the providers, the universities working together. I think we're going to hear later on today about the great strength of Access HE, the pan-London approach, which I think is one of the exciting developments that's taking place in 2011 and on. If you're in Staffordshire, it's more of a challenge. Staffordshire and Keele are 4 miles apart, but if you don't drive, it takes between an hour and a half on public transport. So how do you manage that collaborative approach to support the school pupil? But if you don't pool resources, if we don't work, then you'll have a fight over the easy schools. And many of the students will not get the sort of access to IAG, to support, to summer schools, to student ambassadors, etc., to gifted and talented activities that they need. So what we're doing as two universities is working together through our AIM Higher, post-AIM Higher teams, our WP teams, and our academic groups to look at how we can provide that support there. And just to pick out one or two examples of what we've already, I think, successfully managed to achieve. We know that LLN and AIM Higher has worked very effectively. If I'm honest, it's been more successful for Staffordshire than for Keele. I've been Pro Vice Chancellor 2 years. I, as you've noted, we've worked in post-92. I am a WP pupil and therefore, wedded to the WP agenda. So very much now trying to take advantage of the opportunities for all that it's about. We've overcome together, I think, the competitive urge. We're looking at the mutual trust that we've established, the two vice-chancellors, the senior executives coming together to work. And I think just to share with you, that goes beyond that, because we're also talking, North Staffordshire is interesting, it's right on the cusp. We're almost in two government regions. And the Training and Development Agency keeps getting Keele wrong, and we get sent to the Northwest for lots of our training, even though we're the West Midlands. So we have very strong relationships with Manchester Met, with Chester, and that's important, and something I'll say in terms of the broader collaboration in a moment. But the driver for us, and the work that Judith leads, is very much about a wider and impartial picture to learners. We've got to be sure that the guidance we give enables the learner to make the correct decision. And as I said there, the learner should be the focus of all we do. It reminds me of my time in schools where, when I was a school teacher, head of department, I used to get frequently hauled into the head's office because I was persuading students to go to the local further education college to do a BTEC National, because that would help them to achieve a level 3 into HE. If they did economics with me, they might scrape a grade E. So it was about the right, you know, we are there to help the learners. And the two universities, in terms of its pooling resources, have recognised we are different. And Wolverhampton into the equation and Manchester Met, we complement each other. So it's establishing that trust, which means that we complement each other. So we reduce the competitive threat. And as I've said already, we're doing that, myself as a member of the senior executive with other senior colleagues, in the climate where my director of finance will have a different view, possibly, where the head of admissions will have very different views, and it's how you manage those competing tensions. But I think the importance of it all is how people respond to that. And what I've put there for you, if we're going to carry on the legacy of AIM Higher, LLN, etc., it can only be if people believe in what we're doing. Schools will work with us more readily if they see us as being impartial. So what we're doing is how can we pooling our resources to develop, to, as Andrew's already said, the AIM Higher materials that will be there to support IAG, how we can utilise those independently in the sub-region. So when we bring our students together as student ambassadors, the two institutions represented alongside each other, or students from one institution going out to represent both institutions. And that's what we're trying to do, because we, in a time of declining resource, it's what we're about. Students speaking on behalf, or offering complementary experiences. And I think that has to be the driver for all of us in the HE sector. As I've mentioned, you know, if they're in the right course, because we give the right guidance, will there be improvements in terms of retention? Will there be improvements in terms of attainment? Has to be absolutely key. And just again, those are the other dimensions which we're trying to work around. And that's why, as HEIs, it's important we work together. We're losing expertise. We have to fill in, plug the gaps in terms of AIM Higher and LLN. The local authorities are losing staff. Connections has gone, or is going in most areas, will be gone. There's great uncertainty of the new All Ages Career Service that will replace, and uncertainties amongst, you know, ministers in terms of how effective it'd be. I think differences in commitment to it, if one's honest. The changes to the curriculum in schools. The end of careers education. Just the requirement now for careers guidance. The loss of work experience. What does all that mean? The competition in terms of the school system. The fact that schools now have a different funding model for post-16. That means schools will work with us differently. The positive, just to share with you, in North Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent, is there's been a significant secondary reorganisation. The two universities have worked with the local authority to support the development of academies and trust schools. So we've been using the two institutions, using that as a driver, working with the local authorities and other sponsors to bring that sort of pooled resource, to fashion the sort of post-academy environment that we want. And we know there are going to be free schools, etc., etc., and studio schools. So how do we ensure, you can see I didn't pass my literacy exam, schools and colleges, how do we ensure that the HEIs continue to collaborate? Because we will make a difference, because schools now will be more and more in competition. It's almost back to the scenario when I went into teaching, I started teaching in 1981, the competitive environment as a grant maintained schools. We're almost back there. So we, if you want, are the glue that bring things together. And just some examples for you of how we might collaborate, which we're already doing, we're building on it. And I just share that bottom one with you, the importance of the cross-regional collaboration between AIM Higher Staffordshire and AIM Higher Cheshire, maintaining the HE network. And we had a meeting only last week where I've committed us, on behalf of our area, for the HE network, which is Staffordshire, Keele, Derby, Durham. That's why Durham's in there. But Chester and Rees Heath to continue to work together, so we create a forum for the HE providers to come together to support that across two government regions. And as I've said, it's the other partners we work with, FE, work-based learners, etc. Because remember, many students now will not go to school, university when they're 18. They might apply to the OU and do part-time. And just to finish off, why do it? Stoke-on-Trent is an interesting place, quite a depressed place after the FA Cup final on Saturday. But it is a place of significant educational challenge. But for the first time for a long time, not a single school in special measures. If you look at what the impact of AIM Higher and associated activities, significant reduction in NEETs, significant impact on language development and literacy, never mind the fact that between 2004 and 2010, we've seen a doubling of the percentage transition into higher education. So it's about the second most improved performance in the whole of the West Midlands. Yes, it's only up to 24%, but that is a significant improvement. And what collaboration between the providers has been about is that there was a nascent ambition in children. What the universities and the other providers, the further education colleges, the local authorities have done is to pool the resources to achieve this. And this is just to share with you, that's what we're continuing to do. Won't be much money involved, but it's largely about people because people make it happen. Thank you.